Isaac, thank you. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning here at Grace Point Church. We're glad that you're here, especially if you're a guest. Thank you for being here and worshiping with us this morning here at Grace Point. We are in the middle of a series that I started a few weeks ago called Unto Us, Finding Us in the Christmas Story. Finding Us in the Christmas Story. Now, I said before that it's not about us, it's all about Jesus, but we are a part of the story. So these last couple of weeks and this morning, we want to look at finding us in the story and the gifts that God has for us in the story, in the Christmas story, in what we celebrate this time of year. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. In just a minute, I'm going to turn there and read if you want to get a head start. Luke chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 14. Today, we're talking about the gift of peace unto us, the gift of peace unto us. Every single person in this room, every single person wants to experience peace in their life. We desire that, especially when circumstances around us cause us anxiety. And so this morning we're going to talk about how it is possible to experience this peace from God. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Let me just mention three things before we get started. First of all, Christmas hope. I introduced that to you last Sunday morning. If you would like to give to those who may be walking through a difficult time or a hard time this year at Christmas, if you would like to give to them financially, you can do that. Many of you already have, and I'm thankful for that. We've already been able to get that into the hands of people that are having a hard year, and it helped them greatly, greatly blessed. But if you'd like to be a part of that, you can still give. Put your gift in an envelope, drop it in one of these boxes on your way out. Just write Christmas Hope on the front of it, and then we'll make sure it gets to people who are in need this time of the year. So thank you for being a part of that. It's already been a great blessing to many people. Our elders nominations, nominating two elders, continues until next Sunday. So if you're a Grace Point member, let me encourage you out in the lobby and on our website. You have all the information about elders and qualifications and the nomination, and you can nominate two men to be elders here at Grace Point. Brad Bates, A.J. Maurer, who have served as elders, are rotating off and will be filling those two spots. So let me encourage you, if you haven't done so already, to nominate two people to serve. And then Christmas Eve service, let me just remind you that Christmas Eve, 3:30 and 5 o'clock, December 24th. I hope you make plans to join with us. It's always a great time. Candlelight Christmas Eve service, 3:30 and 5 o'clock this year, okay? All right, let's pray together. We need the Lord. We need the Lord to understand these scriptures, and I need the Lord to preach these scriptures the way he would be glorified. So, Father, we're grateful for this day. I thank you for these people that are here this morning. I thank you for their faithfulness, Lord, to come and to worship you. It's all about you, God. Our hearts are turned toward you. I pray our minds, our focus is all on you this morning. And so I'm asking you, God, for your grace to teach your word. And I pray you would take what is taught, press it into our hearts, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, transform us and change us. And I say, by your grace, God, I ask that every single one of us in this room will leave here understanding and walking in the peace that you give to us. So I pray for that, God. And I know you, supernaturally, you can do that in us. And so I pray for that, and I ask for that. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. All right, so Luke chapter 2, verse 11. Here's what it says. I want to read through verse 14. And we're going to focus in on verse 14 this morning. So here's what it said. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, last week we talked about that. We talked about the gift of Jesus unto us. And from that verse, I said to you a lot of things, but I said that it begins with Jesus, it continues with Jesus, it ends with Jesus. It's all about Jesus all the time. Amen? He is the focus of the story, of the scriptures, of everything that we're doing. And verse 13, and this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, and this is verse 14, this is where we're going to focus on this morning. I'm going to bring some other scripture passages in. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the Bible is clear. I'm going to show you some scripture passages. The Bible is clear that God has given there and other passages this gift of peace unto us. That us as believers have this gift of peace that God has given to us. So the question is then, why are so many of us, me included many times, not experiencing the peace of God? Why is it? I ask myself, and when I write to what God has for me. I study the scriptures. He speaks to me. I then share with you. Why do I let anxiety win over the peace of God so often in my life? Maybe you can relate to that. When in fact, the Bible is clear as I study the scriptures that God has given us this peace. There's so many things that keep us from experiencing it. I want to give you three on your outlines there if you're taking notes. Three things, there's more, but three things that tend to steal this peace that really God gives us. Number one, first of all, when circumstances are uncontrollable, we often lose our peace. Now, I talked about this last week, so I won't dwell here. But much of life, as I said last week, is beyond our control. We get frustrated. We lose our peace. Delayed flights, bad weather, traffic, other people, physical challenges, work stuff, things that are uncontrollable tend to steal our peace. Lots of things happen being out of our control that take our peace. Number two, when people are unchangeable. When people are unchangeable, that tends to lose, we tend to lose our peace. People, most people, resist change and they resent it when you try to change them. Have you ever tried to change someone? How about a personal improvement program for your husband? Or for your children? For your wife, before you're trying to change somebody. How's that going for you? It doesn't go well. People don't like that. People don't like to be. And sometimes they resent us. And yet we can't understand why they won't cooperate. And they can't figure out that what we're trying to do is just for your own good. And yet they still resist that. And we lose our peace of trying to change people. And number three, when problems are unexplainable. Now, we know life's not fair. Things don't always turn out that way. 1 Corinthians 13, Isaiah 55 talks about the ways of God are not our ways. And we only know in part. One day we'll know in full when we're face to face with God. But this side of heaven, things don't turn out the way we want them to. And what makes it even more difficult, and at times we lose our peace, is we don't have explanations of why this happened. Or why this wasn't answered. Or why this happened. And so when problems are unexplainable, it has a tendency to take our peace. Now the Bible is clear. God has promised us peace of mind. Peace of heart. One of the Hebrew names of God is Jehovah Shalom. And Shalom means peace. So Jehovah Shalom means I am the God of peace. The most used greeting in the New Testament between Christians is grace and peace. Three times in John chapter 20, he says, peace be with you. And a number of other scripture passages we'll look at today. This peace that comes from God. Let me say this right up front, though. The peace that we're talking about, the peace from God, has nothing to do with problem-free living. If you wait until all your problems are solved to be at peace, you will never be at peace. If we wait and wait and wait until this is solved and this is solved and this, then we'll find, because we will always have conflict. There will always be problems. Jesus said himself, in this world you will have tribulation. So what we have to do is we have to ask God, what we're doing today, to give us clarity on how to find his peace when we're in situations that cause us anxiety, situations that tend to steal our peace. We worry or we get anxious. It's the peace that God has given to us is the peace we want. Now I'm going to start with John chapter 14, verse 27. Here's what Jesus says. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Okay, so that's the key. All right, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Now, here's the result of that. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, because of the peace that God gives to us, right? So I want to notice, first of all, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So not as the world gives, then I look at that and I go, okay, then that tells me that the world does give some peace. But you say, not as the world gives, which presupposes the world gives peace, which it does. I think it does. I think there are things in this world that bring us peace, but it's not the same kind of peace that God, that Jesus is talking about. A savings account gives us peace, right? Money at times can give us peace. I write you a check for 100 grand on the way out, you're going to be at peace. Stick in the bank of your head. You give me 200 grand, I'm going to rest well today. I will. Savings accounts give us peace. Retirement accounts give us peace. Health insurance, car insurance, all those things, they give us peace. We can go on and on. Things that give us peace in this world. I think that's not as the world gives. So, yes, and I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. They tend to give us peace. But we have to understand what Jesus is saying. There's a difference between that peace and the peace I'm giving you. And the main difference is the peace that the world gives can be taken away, but Jesus is saying the peace that he gives can never be lost. That's the difference. And it also means that we have to be looking for peace in the right things. It's okay to have those things, and smart. Savings account, insurance. But ultimately, where does our peace come from? Because all of those things can be taken away. John 16:33, I've said these things to you that in me, there's the key again. Okay, we talked last week about going all in with Jesus, right? In me, you may have peace. In the world, you have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So what I want to share with you today, and I'll go fairly quickly with these takeaways, how to be centered and settled by the peace of God. That's what we're talking about today. How to be centered on and settled by the peace of God in our lives. Takeaway number one, we go to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The peace of God will always be found by making peace with God. It starts there. That's where it starts. That's the foundation. It starts there first and foremost. The peace of God will always be found by making peace with God first. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the previous verse, a Savior is born. Presuppose we need saving. We do, right? Now God is saying, in the Savior, I'm making peace with you. So first and foremost, our first step is to surrender our life to Christ, receive Christ as our Lord and Savior, peace with God in Jesus. That is where it starts. First of all, unto salvation. Then, as believers, we must be in right relationship, in right fellowship with God to find the peace of God, right? So that means you need to be walking in obedience. We're talking about this in a minute, in obedience to God. You have to be in your relationship with God. You have to be right with God. We talked a couple weeks ago about resentment with God or these things that push us away from God. So we got to clear that up, man. That cannot be in play. We have to get that stuff right with God. If we're not right with God, we are not going to experience the peace of God. If you try to make peace with your mind or your heart, guilt, anxiety, over and over without being settled with God, anything you find and create is only temporary. It will not be lasting. So here's how I'd summarize before we go on to the next one. All peace, all the peace of God that we're looking for, inwardly and peace outwardly, is based on our relationship vertically with God. It all starts there. We can't skip over. We have to start there to have peace with God unto salvation, and then have peace with God in our relationship with him. So it starts with God. Takeaway number two is this. Back to Luke chapter 2, verse 14. The peace of God will always be connected to the glory of God. Always be connected to the glory of God. So this is kind of the main focus of this, I think, message today that I really want you to take with you and to get this. We cannot separate the glory of God and the peace of God. They go together. You see, in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. We keep the glory of God and the peace of God together. If I don't have any interest in, if I don't have any love for, if I don't have any desire for the treasuring of the glory of God, and I just want the peace of God, then I'm not going to experience the peace of God. Superficial peace the world gives, yes. Fleeting, yes. Gone. But the depth of God, the peace of God, I will not experience if I'm not seeking to glorify God. Now, we talked about this last week, and I hammered this thing down last week. But again, remember Isaiah 43, Psalms, other passages. You were made by God, and you were made for God to live for the glory of God. And so God's purpose is to give you peace by Him being the most glorious person in your life. So we cannot separate the peace of God and the glory of God, okay? So, for instance, let's say somebody does something to offend me, to hurt me, to criticize me, or says something bad about me, or does something to me, and I know that I'm called to forgive them because of what they've said or what they've done to me. I'm called to forgive them. Now, if I choose to not forgive them, then I will not experience the peace of God because choosing not to forgive them does not glorify God. Does that make sense? So you're not going to experience the peace of God if you're not living in a way that's going to glorify God. So if I choose not to forgive that person who's hurt me, that's not glorifying to God. I'm not going to experience the peace of God. That's why I said a couple weeks ago, that's the release, is when you forgive and you experience the peace of God. You know why? Because when you do that, you glorify God. You cannot separate the two. If you want to experience the depth of the peace of God in your life, like the Bible is teaching about, Luke 2, then you must seek to consistently glorify God in your life. So as you are seeking to glorify God in your life, then you will in greater ways experience the peace of God. Apart, you can't experience it. Listen, outside the boundaries of the will of God and the Word of God, you, my friend, will never experience the peace of God. Never outside the boundaries of God's will. God's never going to give you His peace. God's never going to give you His power to do things that contradict His Word. It's never going to happen. You can't go live in sin and pray for the peace of God over you. That's not going to work. It's never going to happen. Or the power of God to do things that are outside the boundaries of the will of God. He's never going to honor that. Because it's not glorifying to Him. It's not glorious to God. Glorifying God and the peace of God go together. So that means, and I know, you know, it's when you drill down deep, it's radical. Like this, for instance, if you're serious, you're all in, like I said last week, with Christ and glorifying God, then that means what you begin to do in your life is you begin to ask the question in every situation, what will bring the most glory to God in this situation? Across the board, every situation. And then as God speaks to you about that and you walk in that obedience, you begin to experience the peace of God. You know what? Because that's why you were created, is to live for the glory of God. That's why you're going to experience the depth of the peace of God, because you were doing exactly what God made you to do. You're outside of it. You're not going to experience the peace of God. We'll always be connected to the glory of God. As one writer says, the child came and an army of angels shows up to declare praise. It's about glory ever ascending from man to God, and ever descending from God to man. God getting glory and us getting peace. This is the purpose of the incarnation. It is the purpose of the universe being prepared for the incarnation, that God would be seen as infinitely glorious, that we would get never-ending peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. A heart bent on showing the glory of God will know the depth of the peace of God. Seeking to glorify God. Again, that is why we were created. Let me show you a verse, Hebrews 13, verse 20. Listen to this. May the God of peace, so there it is again, this is what we're talking about today, peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, so there's the power of God, the great shepherd, and there's compassion of God, of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, there's a sacrifice of God. Now, verse 21, equip you with everything good that you may do His will. not do what you want. He has equipped you to do the will of God. Now, it can be in a number of different ways. It can be as a pastor. It can be as a teacher. It can be as an athlete. It can be as a truck driver, whatever it is, right? But he's equipped you to do that. You understand that. First and foremost, to do his will. We talked about that last week. Everything that you may do his will, equip you with every good thing that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. To him be glory. There it is again. Forever and ever. So the peace of God will always be connected to the glory of God. Now, let's go take one number three. The peace of God will only be found when we obey God, which is really what I already mentioned. Right? The peace of God will only be found when we obey God. But I want to show you a verse. Colossians 3, verse 15 says this, okay? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Now, the word rule is the same word we use for umpire. So he's saying, let the peace of Christ make the call in your heart. Let it rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. Now, the following verses, if we were to have time to take that apart, I think the way this thing flows is, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And now the following things, as we do these things, we see the peace of Christ ruling in our heart. Okay? It's not on your outline, but let me show you. And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body. Now here it goes, okay? And be thankful. So gratitude, that glorifies God. Just being a grateful person. And that glorifies God. That brings you peace. That's the first one. Second, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Okay, that glorifies God, because when it dwells in you richly, it's going to impact the way you live. Okay, that brings you the peace of God. Number three, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. I think that's using the gifts God's given you, serving others. That's the way that we glorify God. You experience the peace of God. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, I would call that worship. That's another way that we are glorifying God, which then brings you the peace of God. With thankfulness in your hearts to God, and that in itself is glorifying God. See, so as we are doing these things, that's letting the peace of Christ rule in your heart. That regardless of what we're walking through, we can experience the peace of God when our heart is bent on glorifying God in the midst of it. I want to show you this, Acts chapter 7, and then I'm just going to give you the last few takeaways. Acts chapter 7, the story of Stephen, all right, who, the stoning of Stephen, where he was killed for his faith. So he has just given truth to these guys, and so they're responding I pick it up in verse 54. Now when they heard, and I want you to see the glory of God, the peace of God, the obedience to God in this story. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, all right, look at this, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. So the very thing that he was created to live for, he's looking at it right now. He sees it right there. Okay, the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Verse 57, that they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. That's a whole other story. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out. Listen to this, okay? You've heard this before in the Gospels. They were stoning Stephen. He called out, Stephen, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. You know, you've heard that before. At the cross, what did Jesus say? He said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he said, I commit my spirit to you. Right? So he, because he was in obedience to the way of God, and he was glorifying God, he was able to experience the peace of God. How do I know he experienced the peace of God? Because he stood right there as they took his life. He did not run. He did not flinch. because he was experiencing the fullness of the peace of God. As he glorified God, and as he obeyed God, and when he'd said this, he fell asleep. He died. But even in that situation, he was experiencing the peace of God, because even through that horrible thing, he was able to glorify God as he obeyed God. The peace of God will only be found when we obey God. It's never outside the boundaries of the Word of God or the will of God. Takeaway number four, the peace of God will always be found in the wonder of God. The peace of God will always be found in the wonder of God. So this is as I write, this is a hard one for me, but I think it's important. We all need to do it, and that is to take a breath, to slow down, tap the brakes, look around, be grateful. The peace of God will always be found in the wonder of God, because by doing that, we glorify God. Psalm 40, verse 5, you have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell of them, yet they are more than can be told. So what I encourage you to do is be alive to the wonder of God around you. Be alive to the wonder of God. That means sometimes we have to pause, we have to stop. And there's three things I know for me I have to be intentional about. To be alive to the wonder of God through his past faithfulness. Hey, remember how God has gotten you through things in the past. How God has provided for you. How you made it through. Here you are. So you've made it this far. And God has got you through. Maybe it's physical things God's got through. Maybe it's relational. Maybe it's with your family. Look how faithful he's been to you. Maybe through hard times. Man, don't lose the wonder of that. Man, that brings the peace of God. His present provision. So you look around and you see how God has blessed. You know, I do that. Just my family, me personally, this church, that I just sit for a little bit and be still and recognize that he is providing so much even now. And then the future promises that he has in his word. And then also, ultimately, that future promise that as believers in Christ, when we leave this life, when our time is done here, the Bible says he has prepared a place for us. That should give us peace for us and then for loved ones as God takes them. And that's an amazing thing. Don't lose the wonder of God. Then the last one, takeaway number five, is the peace of God will always be found when we accept the plan of God. Finish with this one, probably the hardest one is to accept the plan of God. Proverbs 19:21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And then Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. So here's what I would say to you as I finish with this one, probably the hardest one. And that is, there comes a time, folks, family, look, there comes a time when, man, we have to accept what cannot be changed. I'm not talking about just sit back and things are immoral around you, accept that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about things that maybe happen in our lives that we wish could be changed, but we can't change them. And so what we have to pray for is we have to get to that place where we have to accept that things cannot be changed. Worrying about what cannot be changed won't give you peace. Becoming resentful or bitter about what cannot be changed will certainly not give you peace. Feeling guilty about past mistakes will certainly not give you peace. So we have to, peace comes when we can get to that place. And look, it's by the grace of God. This story I'm about to give you, and then we'll pray 2 Samuel 12. I can't even imagine it, okay? The loss of a child in 2 Samuel 12. But I want to show you David's response. And again, it's by the grace of God, the mercy of God, the strength of God, that we're able to accept things that cannot be changed. So let me summarize it in 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's the story of King David who just had a baby, and the baby was dying, sick and dying. And so David, as the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12, prays. He's fasting, he's weeping, he's crying out to God, pleading with God to please save this child. And the Bible says that on the seventh day the baby died. For whatever reason, God chose not to spare that child. We don't know what the reason is for that. We'll know someday, we'll know in full. 1 Corinthians 13, we're face to face with God. But we don't know why. The Bible says that when David's advisors heard the news that the baby had died, they were scared to tell David because David was so already on the edge that they thought, man, when he gets this final word, we don't know what he'll do. And so they are talking about it among themselves. And David said, this is 2 Samuel 12, and David said to his servants, has the child died? And they said, yes, he has died. Now, here's what I want you to get, okay? Then David arose from the earth. So he was praying on his knee, you know, worship. He rose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshiped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. All right, so his child has died. He gets up from praying. He goes home, cleans up, changes clothes, goes to worship, comes back, eats something. Now, look at I'm going to read the response. Then his servant said to him after this, what is this thing that you've done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food? And he said this, while the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live. But now he has died. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me. So David, by the grace of God, accepted what could not be changed. And he experienced the peace of God. He accepted it. One of the probably most popular prayers, millions of people pray the Serenity Prayer every day, and you're familiar with part of it probably, which says, God, grant me the serenity to accept the change that to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's good. But you know, there are 8 more lines to that prayer. And I think in those 8 lines is the power to do what that one section gets prayed a lot. So let me read it to you, then we'll pray together. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as the pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you, God, will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. It's through acceptance, it's through trust, and it's through surrender that we find the peace of God. 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times, in every way. The Lord be with you all. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's stand and pray. Let's stand and pray. So, Father, I pray this morning, I do pray that every single one of us, God, I pray every single one of us, that we, Lord, will experience the peace that you have given to us. I'm sure there's people that are walking through really deep valleys right now, or this week brings them some anxiety or some fear or some concern. You, as our Savior, you said to us, peace I give to you. So I pray that we can experience that, God, that our hearts will beat to glorify you, to walk in a way that would honor you, and that we would truly experience this peace in the deepest ways we've ever experienced it. I pray that for us, God. And I thank you for this gift of Jesus. In his name we pray these things. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe this morning, my friend, maybe you've never made peace with God and surrendered your life to him, repenting of your sin and asking Jesus to be Lord and Savior. you've never made that decision, I'm going to be standing down here at the front. There'll be other staff and elders that'll be here. We would welcome the opportunity just to pray with you and to talk with you, to lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, we invite you to come this morning. There may be other things that are on your heart. You want us to pray with you, we invite you to come. Or if you want to come and kneel at the altar, or if just where you're standing, you want to just worship and pray, glorifying God as you're doing it, as you're worshiping and praying. However the Lord leads you, let's continue to worship Him this morning.